But first, we're going to check in with the editorial board of the Arizona Republic. It's a weekly segment where we talk about current issues facing the state and the nation, featured in columns on the newspaper's op-ed pages. For several election cycles, analysts have been looking at the impact of Latino voter turnout in Arizona and what impact that can have in turning the outcomes of certain races. A guest column in Sunday's edition of The Republic, written by Sonia Diaz of UCLA, points out it's not only voters but Latino elected officials who are becoming an increasing force in Arizona. Phil Boas, editorial page editor of The Republic, is with me for his weekly appearance to talk about it. Phil, last week's decision by the Phoenix City Council on the oversight of the police department seemed to indicate a growing strength of Latino elected officials in the city, right?
Right. That vote at Phoenix City Hall was really an eye-opener. It really gave you a sense that we're beginning to see the change that everybody has been predicting, really the rise of the Latino voter in Phoenix, which is has become a majority minority city. Mm-hmm. And so you had a vote on an independent police commission, citizens to oversee the police. And there were a couple of possibilities there, one more moderate and one more stern, a more activist approach that would give investigative powers to this citizens commission. And the council ended up voting for the most liberal of these. And I think it got my attention as like, wow, we did this in Phoenix. I didn't like the policy and I disagree with it. But there's something exciting about seeing this beginning to happen in the city.
Your guest columnist made the point that a lot of this started with SB 1070, the activism that we've seen in the decades since. So are we actually seeing the true, and is this City of Phoenix situation a major sign that we're going to see more Latino politicians, elected officials, whatnot, actually being in those positions of power as opposed to just sort of protesting those in power?
Well, you had Carlos Garcia, a new city councilman who was an activist, gets elected, and was very much seen as kind of an outsider. And now it's his policy that has been approved. And the key vote there was Kate Gallego, the mayor. Now, the mayor is a white woman, Harvard educated, but had been married to a Latino man, Ruben Gallego, former congressman, has a Latino child. And it was interesting when she was running, she had the support of a lot of the rank and file Latino leadership, even though she was running against a Latino man. She is seen as a Latino mayor by a lot of people. Yeah. And so she represents a lot of their views and causes and whatnot. And so that's what turned that vote. And it's just fascinating to see. It's kind of exciting. Yeah.
And I know one of the points you've made before, maybe we can talk a little bit more about this, is as the demographics change and as we see more Latinos in these positions of power, more traditional positions of power, I'm going to use the phrase buy-in. There almost has to be more buy-in because, as you mentioned with Carlos Garcia, now he's not just an activist. He actually is part of a decision-making team. How do you think that's going to change either the perspective of people doing it or their sense of responsibility?
Well, Latinos are a large part of our population and growing, and they need to be part of the leadership. They need to have power and authority. And what happens when minorities get power and authority? They take on the burdens of leadership, and that changes them, and it changes how they interact with the population. You're no longer standing on the sidelines criticizing. You're now there, and you're expected to fix things. And I learned this from an LA Times columnist back around SB 1070. We were talking about it. It was actually a little later when we saw the ethnic studies in Tucson. And he was looking at that and saying that it reminded him a little bit of sort of the Chicano radicalism they saw in Los Angeles in the 60s and 70s. And he said what happened was that Latinos took over Los Angeles, and now it's just fix the damn potholes, you know?
So one thing we always mention is the Latino power when it comes to voting, obviously uh-huh. coming up in November, major election. And it's always this measurement of, okay, will Latinos turn out? So two-part question for you. Do you think we will see more Latino turnout as we see more Latinos in elected office and in positions of power? And at some point, will we stop seeing Latinos as a monolith and actually say, hey, just because Latinos vote doesn't mean we can predict how they're going to vote?
Yeah, so we talk about demography. Absolutely. We're going to see Latinos flex their political muscle because they have it. And we've been waiting for some time now for that to happen. There's that old saying that demography is destiny, but demography doesn't move in a straight line, okay? And you're right about the monolith. So at the same time, you have more and more Latino voters, and the young people in the city are Latino, the majority are Latino. And the other change that you're seeing is that as Latinos get settled here, their birth rates become more like the majority population, and that slows down as well, and it's a lower birth rate. So we're going to see all kinds of change and intermingling, and it's going to be hard to predict the politics and where they go.
Phil Boas is editorial page editor of the Arizona Republic. We've been talking about a piece in the paper written by guest columnist Sonia Diaz.